and welcome to International Report. Deming, New Mexico is a small town near the U.S.-Mexican border that finds itself caught in the middle of heated immigration debates. Starting back in May, the U.S. Border Patrol began dropping off asylum seekers, mostly from Central America, at facilities on Deming's outskirts. These migrants have traveled thousands of kilometers, often in dangerous conditions, and have official sponsors in the U.S. say that they'll eventually reach, as opposed to undocumented migrants crossing the border without such connections. While headlines out of detention facilities where children may be separated from their families fill the American news these days, processing centers like those in Deming provide a striking contrast. In part because they're mainly operated by local government and bands of volunteers from the community rather than Homeland Security or other federal agencies. Sam Shramsky has this report from Deming.
Deming, New Mexico, the seat of Luna County, is not your typical hotspot for the nation's most urgent political struggles. It's a laid-back outpost in the Chihuahuan Desert, known for its rocks and endless amounts of sunshine. In fact, a few years back, Deming's marketing video made it come across as an Old West version of classic small-town America.
It's pride in small-town values and big sweeping landscapes.
But all of that changed in May. On Mother's Day, no less, that's when 124 asylum seekers from Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, and even Brazil arrived by bus from El Paso, Texas, hand-delivered by the U.S. Border Patrol. Immigrants like 40-year-old Fermin Lopez, who began his voyage in a little village in Honduras on that Mother's Day Sunday and ended up at the borderline after fighting jungle vines, narco traffickers, and long days without food or water. He is seeking asylum in New York because of violence and the threat of it back home in Tegucigalpa.
Yes. 17 días.
One of the sheriff's captains on Saturday morning started saying that he was releasing people to the community, to the transit stations. Then I got hold of the county emergency person and we went to the sheriff's office and started making plans about what we were going to do. About 7 or 10 days in, it's hard even to remember now. We swelled to about 700 people in total, sheltered, yeah, between the two places.
Within days, hundreds of immigrants, asylum seekers with documented American sponsors, apprehended hundreds of kilometers away, were being dropped off at an old airplane hangar. Once their documents and vitals were thoroughly reviewed, they were ushered over to the county fairgrounds, a facility more accustomed to rodeos than refugees. Chris Bryce, who now claims he has, quote, 3 full-time jobs as an assistant county manager, detention center director, and, most recently, manager of the county's asylum facilities, recounts how sudden the whole process was.
Sheriff's office captains Saturday morning just saying that Border Patrol has decided to start releasing people to the community or to the transit stations. And then I got hold of the then county emergency management person, and we went down to the sheriff's office and started making plans on what we were going to do. And had a local Red Cross volunteer who stepped in to help us. We came Saturday night and set up a bunch of cots and got together as best we could. And then Sunday morning, about 9:45, the first bus came with asylum seekers, and I think it was probably 120 or so. And then it's been every day since then.
But while cities as large as Laredo and El Paso in the state of Texas and San Diego, California, have the resources to handle this influx, small municipalities neither have the experience nor often the infrastructure to do so. Luna County is the 5th poorest in the state of New Mexico, out of 33. New Mexico is itself under-resourced and relies heavily upon the federal government for border and immigration-related matters. When those first 120-plus migrants showed up in May, there was no immediate federal help in sight. And recently, the Deming City Council was forced to allocate $1 million out of their $11 million annual budget to keep the shelter afloat. Victoria Umul, a former farmer and cook from the San Marcos Department of Guatemala, has a story like many here. Her sponsor, a husband in Florida, has already arranged most of the logistics for her trip, sitting on a cot like scores of other migrants in a fairgrounds exhibit hall, normally reserved for local farmers. She's tired but hopeful for the journey ahead.
My husband and son are in Florida, so I'm leaving for Florida tomorrow. The immigration court will decide how long I can stay there.
When asked what she misses most while traveling the long distance and then hanging tight in the hangar, And then after that, the exhibit hall of the fairgrounds, her response recalls a slice of home.
Solo tortilla.
Tortilla, falta de tortilla.
Solo hace falta tortilla.
Falta de tortilla, ne.
It's not clear when and if the county will be fully reimbursed by the state and federal government, but what isn't in doubt is the role of outside volunteers. Within 24 hours of the first migrants setting foot in the processing facilities, a team of mostly retirees and parishioners jumped into action. These individuals, including a few off-duty physicians and bilingual teachers thrown into the mix, have filled an important gap where paid staff might otherwise be employed. Bob and Bonnie, two local retirees who've stretched themselves to the breaking point since the Mother's Day drop-off, are getting back into a groove, that is, volunteering 24 hours a week at the fairgrounds rather than 80.
Well, since they started here on Mother's Day,
uh-huh.
which was the second Sunday
yeah.
or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And we heard about it, and so we started, that was Sunday, Mother's Day, right?
Right, yeah.
Okay,
uh-huh.
We started the next day, Monday.
Okay, you got here the next day.
Yeah,
and we were doing
like 13-hour days back to back to back to the point where it just got to us. And then hopefully there was somebody that could take over
right.
because we were just completely
right.
plumbed out. My wife...
In May, the U.S. Border Patrol made more than 130,000 apprehensions at the dividing line with Mexico, including almost 85,000 adults and children traveling together and almost 12,000 children traveling alone. Only a fraction of these migrants ended up in Deming for processing, but these numbers together represent the highest rates of apprehensions in more than a decade. This rate may soon change, however. The Trump administration has strong-armed the Mexican government into sealing its own southern border with Guatemala in exchange for leniency on tariffs. The White House has also announced it will stem aid to the Northern Triangle nations unless they staunch the flow of people leaving their country.
Yes, the journey is difficult. To go from there to here, yes, it's hard. That's the way life is until we get here. That's what we are seeking. We don't have anything. We don't have houses. We didn't come because we wanted to. We came out of necessity. That's the way life is.
In the meantime, Deming will have to prepare for a continuous influx of asylum seekers. New restrictions and immigration rules under the current administration, combined with violence, poor economic development, and the increasing threat of climate change-induced agricultural losses in their home countries, portend little change in the foreseeable future. Asylum seekers are likely to continue to contact their sponsors spread out across the United States and begin their lives anew. These prospects, as Eldivia Reis, a 16-year-old from San Pedro, Guatemala, notes, puts all the hardships to get across the border in perspective. For Radio France International, this is Sam Schramsky, reporting in Deming, USA.